Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. And it's good for us to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and His truth, and the truth of the Lord, endureth forever. Praise the Lord. So good to be here. Just one more time with Truth on Blog Talk Radio, and we welcome you today, October 16th, 2018, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So what a blessing it is to be here. So we welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and our Instagram followers. So it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, and thank God for the grace of God. And as we always like to ask the very important question, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So not only good just to believe on Him, but to do what He says. And so this is what we endeavoring to do, to get the word out there. As He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so thus it behooves Christ, Luke writes, to suffer and to rise from the third day, from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So this is what we are endeavoring to do. St. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. So this is St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, one of his prison epistles, writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. So he always was a builder. He was an encourager. He was a master builder. So we're not talking about building blocks and building buildings, but we're talking about building people. And this is what Jude said, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So encourage, he was always encouraging and always building people's faith. And as he said when he wrote to the church at Rome, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this is what we have to have. Can't get too much of the word. And so his word is forever settled in heaven. So his word is a lamp unto our feet. His word is a light unto our path. And so man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so again, we say, welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory on this platform called Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So if you've been listening here lately, we've been dealing with end time signs. So we have actually finished 10 hours because all of my shows are an hour. So we have been talking, we've done 10 parts to this Only Believe series, End Time Signs. And so the Godhead is my ongoing theme. So many don't know that there is one God. James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. So we know the devil is a liar and the father of it. But he knows there is only one God. But he'll tell people it's two or three, but he knows it's only one. So God is one and his name is one. He's a great I am. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere in every place. And he is omnipotent, which means he has all power. So he's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. He's high and lifted up. He's altogether lovely. Yes, talking about the creator of the ends of the earth. The one who said, let there be light. The one, Job says, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So we know a Hebrew writer says, all things are held up by the word of his power. And we know the Hebrew writer says, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So this is who we are talking about. And so we were talking about the mystery of iniquity. And so as we move on today, we want to give out the call in number. Should you have a question or should you have a comment, you are welcome to call as pertaining to the subject. And our call in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You are welcome to call in to Truth Ministry should you have a question or should you have a comment. So like I've been saying, I relocated from Michigan to Florida, and so now I'm worshiping. I'm in South Florida. I'm worshiping at Vision Worship Center, Inc. It's a church, a sister church of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, which is the apostolic organization that I've been belonging to, that I have belonged to all of my saved life. And so I have relocated to South Florida, and so I'm worshiping at Vision Worship Center, and it's located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the pastor, the bishop, and the founder of Vision Worship Center. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the bishop, the founder, and the senior pastor. So should you desire to worship with us, all of our worship time on Sunday is 7:30 a.m. Every Sunday, 7:30 a.m. is our regular worship time. And also, on the second and fourth, the first and third Tuesdays is our Bible class or solution studies, we call it, at 7:30 p.m. on the first and third Tuesdays. And so on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. is our intercessory prayer. So every Tuesday alternating is our solution studies, we call Bible class, at 7:30 p.m. And then alternating Tuesdays is our intercessory prayer, also at 7:30 p.m. And our worship service on Sunday is at 7:30 a.m. every Sunday. So you are welcome, should you be in the South Florida area and want to come and worship with us. Again, Vision Worship Center at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chanteloup is the bishop, the founder, and senior pastor. So you are welcome to come and worship with us. So we're going to continue in our lesson. So we've been talking about end time signs for, like I said, on the last 10 sessions. So so much going on. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse and deceiving and being deceived. So we know that the Lord actually gave end time signs in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then also John gave end time signs in his epistles. And then so Timothy, Paul, St. Paul gave things that were going to happen in the last days when he wrote to the bishop, his son in the gospel, the bishop Timothy, and he also gave end time signs. And so that's what we have been going over. And so on last week, we really, by the time we got to dealing with our subject about the mystery of iniquity, our time got away, so I just wanted to kind of continue there a little bit. You really don't hear a whole lot about this going on now, because there is a difference in about the appearing of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. So a lot of people don't understand. So we have been taught about this many years ago, and so I thank God for it. And so the appearing is when he is going to catch the church away. That is the appearing of the Lord. So many don't understand the difference. I mean, it's not really hard. When he says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us," this is in 1 John, the third chapter, "that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, he goes on here, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, there it is right there, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so that the appearing is when he is going to take the church away, just like Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He was translated that he should not see death. And so as we go back, even in the second chapter of 1 John, he was talking about in the 23rd verse, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. So this is what I've been endeavoring to do. That's why I use the term the Godhead. There is only one God. So it has to be taught, but the Lord is the one that gives a revelation. Only the Lord can reveal, that is the Holy Ghost, can reveal to you who Jesus is. That's what I was saying on last week when I made mention when the Lord told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, when he gave him the keys. And so that was a divine revelation. So what he was saying, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he's talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he goes on to say, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it means exactly what it says. The church has binding and loosing power. He went on to say it again, verily I say unto you, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he goes on here, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So what I want to say, and the Bible does not teach nothing about a Trinity. There's no such thing as three in one and all that. God can never be confined. He can never be what he is not, which means he can't be confined. But when he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He is always God. And it amazes me. People say that they, and many people know that they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. They don't think because he's in them, he can't be in somebody else. So he can be in heaven, in earth, all around the world, leave you, come to you, all at the same time. He fills all space. He is God. There's none else. There's none like him. There's none with him. There's none after him. There's none beside him. Like I said, he's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. So he's everywhere in every place. He's all-knowing. He has all power. He is the self-same one. So he goes on here. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing, and that's another thing. There's only one anointing. It ain't your anointing, my anointing, her anointing, his anointing. There is only one anointing. And Paul, even when he wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, he that anointed us is God. So John is writing here, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So he's talking about you can't have the anointing if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he's in you. That's what he's talking about. So we make it be some mystified, deep thing, the anointing, when we say, she's anointed of God, he's anointed of God. He wants us all to be anointed. Let the Holy Ghost work in us. And so he goes on here, and now, little children, abide in him. So remember now, we're talking about the self-same one. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Ghost. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. So that when he shall, there it is, appear. So that's when he's going to take the church out of here, his appearing. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So this is the same thing he's talking about here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear. So it's the self-same thing. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so like I've said, the word, the term rapture is not in the Bible. But that is a good word is what we call it, to be raptured away or to be taken away or to be caught away. And so a lesson is going to derive out of this book of Thessalonians. He wrote two letters, and so this is one of the key passages that we use to substantiate the Lord coming to for us to be ready for him at his appearing. So this is what he, Apostle Paul, was writing to this church when he was saying that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So he's talking about those who have fell asleep or those who died in Jesus. To be in Jesus, whether dead in Christ or alive in Christ. But the key is you want to be in Christ and you got to be baptized in the Christ. So that's why I always emphasize the importance of being born of water and of the Spirit in St. John 3 and 5, and being born again in the book of Acts is where the church was, the fulfillment of the new birth was fulfilled in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, and how they gladly received the word, Acts 2 and 38, when he told them what to do, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say, the promise is unto you, talking to the Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he testified and exhorted, told them to say yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm just going on flying through. Then they that gladly received his word, I believe in the 41st verse, were baptized, and they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And so you have to have the new birth. And so this is what he was letting them know. Everything, I believe it's Colossians 3 and 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. And so baptism is definitely a deed. It's definitely essential. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord in Acts, the 10th chapter, when he went to the Gentiles. And the same thing in Acts 2:38, Acts 8, Acts 9, you have to be baptized in the name. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4 and 12, and any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hebrews 9 and 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the blood of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. So he goes on here, these are believers who have died in the Lord. So that's why he was saying, I would not have you to be ignorant. This is 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So I'm going to show you what this sleep is. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, catch that, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And here it is, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is why he's going on here. We go on into the next chapter. But of the times and seasons, brethren, I write unto you, ye have no need that I write unto you, excuse me, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So this is what's going on now, as we mentioned in the end time signs about peace treaties, truce breakers, as Paul wrote to Timothy. We made mention about that. So all of these things are going on, violence and evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, and deceivers and being deceived, and people leaving the faith. Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, and so on and so forth. And so as it was in the days of Lot. And so in the days of Lot, they planted, they sowed, they built. So we know what happened. The same day that Lot went out, God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven and killed them. So we know that's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot. And so homosexuality, God was not pleased with two men doing that which is unseemly with each other, and two women doing that which is unseemly with each other. Somebody said homosexual male and female. So a homosexual is not a gay. Gay means to be happy. You remember the Flintstones? We have a yabba-doo time, a dabba-doo time, a gay old time. Gay means to be happy. That's just a play on words. But God is against perversion. So that's what it is. That's what he even said about people perverting the gospel of Christ. So a homosexual is not a gay, but a homosexual is perverted. That is what that is. That is perversion, and God is against it. So they passed the law, I believe in 2016, whenever that was, that two men, same-sex marriage, two men can marry each other, two women can marry each other. God has not changed. He is going to judge that because it's really illegal procedure. You can't marry somebody that is of the same sex. God is not pleased with that, and he always was against it, and so it's going to be judged. So that is one of the end time signs. And so we're talking about his appearing, which can happen at any time. So the church is not going to go. That is a misconception. That is, and a lot of people, they're scared to deal with this kind of stuff. But we were taught it. And so we're living in end times. You know, we keep talking about blessing and this, that, and the other in this season and all this stuff. And so that's why I can flat-footed say that I remember when this stuff started. There was no such thing, like I said, about a seed. A seed is your offspring. A seed is a literal seed, like for grain, just like the Bible says he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, he's talking about rain coming down from heaven, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and snow that it may bring, make the earth to bring forth and the bud. He says, so shall my, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's literally talking about seed. Wheat. Grow wheat. Grow wheat to bake bread. Is what he's talking about. Literal bread, seed to the farmer, not money. And so your seed, and so seed is your, like I said, your offspring, a literal seed. And Jesus said the seed is the word of God. Seed is not money, never was money, never will be money. We keep talking about getting a seed in the ground and all that. No, God said, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He did say that. But money is not a seed. Like we're the highest bidder, or we're gambling, is the way we're coming across with it. No, you can't beat God given. So what he said is more blessed to give than to receive. You are blessed if you have to give. And yes, he loveth the cheerful giver, but it's money. It's currency. It is not seed as we say it. So that's the case. Then rich people might as well just plant. Keep giving, 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 because you can't beat them. So they would have us beat again. So that doesn't make sense. That's not what it's talking about at all. And so we're talking about the appearing of the Lord before we get into this today. And that is, he had to deal with this Corinthian church. This is an awesome chapter, this first Corinthians 15th chapter. He deals with a lot of things. So he goes on here talking about that which thou sowest, not that body that shall be, but grain. It may be chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and every seed his own body. So this is not talking about no money. So I didn't even, and so I just went right into this. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So that is Adam, and that is Jesus Christ in that one scripture. As the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So he goes on here, he's making it plain. Now this I say, brethren, so he's talking to the Corinthian church, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So remember, that's what we were talking about in the Thessalonian church when he was talking about being changed in a moment, you know, being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so he goes on here, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So he's talking about the believers that are alive. So some, he's talking about dead and alive. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So he goes in, how is that going to happen? In a moment? What kind of moment is that? In the twinkling of an eye? At the last trump? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So he goes on to say, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is that sting? O grave, where is that victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is substantiating what I just read. So the change. And so this is in the book of Hosea, I believe, when he was saying about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. So he's talking about the saying that is written. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So that's why he says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so this is what he is talking about in the book of Hosea. And so Hosea 13, and 14. So this is why we want to go on here. So we're letting people know. So the thing, these signs are letting us know that the coming of the Lord or the appearing of the Lord is soon. The appearing has to take place before God starts pouring out his wrath on the earth. And so there's another scripture. I want to substantiate this. And so another sign, we're in the last days. In the third chapter of Revelation, he's talking about the seven churches. And so we are living in the age of Laodicea. So the age that we're living in, he literally did not have anything good to say about us. That's why he went on to say, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. So under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So that spewing is not spitting. That spewing is a continual flow, like a broken water main, where water is spewing out. So remember, Jesus said that the Father seeketh such to worship him. The day is going to come, the hour cometh, when the true worship shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In the fourth chapter of St. John, when he was talking to the woman at the well, that's when he went on to say, God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he's writing here to the last church in the book of Revelation, the Laodicea. So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, here it is, don't this sound like us? I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's our faith. That thou mayest be rich in white raiment. That's our righteousness. Thou mayest be clothed. That's clothed with his righteousness. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So that is the message, the same message that John the Baptist had when he came on the scene. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same message when Jesus had that Jesus had when he came on the scene. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here it is, what I said, just mentioned. He had nothing good to say about this church. This is the age that we are living in. So I've been in here since 1976 for 42 years, and I've been hearing this ever since I've been in here. We are in this age, and you can see these things materializing. People are talking about, this is your season. This is, a blessing. Not really, they're not talking about sin as they should be talking about sin, or people getting themselves ready to walk with God. So make sure you're right. Don't let the shame of your nakedness appear. Walk right. Have your heart right. If you mess up, you say something that you shouldn't say, if you get the forgiveness of God and run for your life. If you fall in sin, you confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So have a heart. Come clean. If you mess up, come clean. Because nobody in their right mind wants to be lost. So that's why he said, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So, but anyway, I missed the verse that I wanted. So this is the message. This is what the Lord is doing. Out of all that, he had nothing good to say about this church, but he's standing at the door knocking. So he says, look, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. And so he is not going to pour out his wrath until he gets his bride out of the way. So after 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that's when he's going to marry the bride. And so here, right after this, John writes here, after this, and so remember now we've been talking about the rapture. I've been talking about the catching away or the appearing, which is the rapture, talking about the change in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, which is the appearing, which is catching the bride or the people of God away out of this earth, because God has other things that he's got to do on the agenda. And so after this, in the fourth chapter, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. That is the rapture of the church. So everything that happens that John mentions about the visions go back and forth. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's the rapture of the church. I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, John says, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So that's the rapture of the church. Everything that happened is afterwards. Everything, they're looking, saying woe to the inhabitants of the earth as we go on here in this vision of John. And so I want to go back into the lesson now. So the church is raptured in heaven. So these scriptures that I've been given, so actually, like I said, the 24th chapter of Matthew was a double reference prophecy. When he was talking about the sign of thy coming, the end of the world, it's three things that he asked there. But I want to make sure that the end of the world, the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world, as he says here in Matthew, let's see. So it is so important, and I don't want to miss that. Yeah, here it is right here. And so this is, like I said, this is actually double reference prophecy, because remember Matthew writes about these signs, and actually General Titus came in there like 300-something A.D. or whenever it was, the exact date, and they destroyed Jerusalem. Remember he said there was not going to be one stone left upon another. The temple was destroyed. Remember I said the temple has got to be rebuilt. So what we're going to talk about on this evening, the man of sin is going to sit in that temple. He want to be worshipped, showing himself that he is God. But here, I just wanted to run back here. They were saying, tell us, when shall these signs, these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So when shall these things be? He says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So that's pretty much, the other part of this that shall happen. And so get back here, what we were talking about on last week. We were talking about the man of sin. And so, like I said, you don't hear this. I know I haven't in a while. So I'm so glad that I was taught it in my early saved life. And so this is what Paul was saying. So this is letting you know after the church is gone. So he's talking about all of this in this second letter to the church at Thessalonica, which is the Thessalonians. And so we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So that's the rapture of the church. Like I said, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So remember now, in the latter times, like he was saying, so you got to put all this together, when he was saying some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And remember also when he was saying the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10, I believe, and he said, which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith given, you know, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he warned him to flee these things, follow after righteousness, charity, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he's going on here as he continues. St. Paul writes, who is the apostle to the Gentiles? So he's talking about there's going to be a falling away first. And so people dub it the great falling away, but it doesn't say that. They just put that in there. But that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we know who that is. So we know that Satan entered into the serpent. He entered into Judas. He shall enter into the Antichrist or the son of perdition. Whoso opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, that this is what he does, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself. So he saw this above all that is called God or that is worship. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So he goes on here, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, and that's talking about hindereth, or is who is the Holy Ghost, will let or will hinder until he be taken out of the way. So talking about the prayers of the people of God, prayers of the saints of God, the Holy Ghost, the church in the earth is holding the enemy back from working like he wants to. So in the few minutes that we have remaining, should you desire to call in, our call-in number, 929-477-2285. This is Truth Ministry. I am Elder Michael Eric Cannon, the spokesman for the King of Glory. And so he says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So he's hindering. The church is hindering him from working like he wants. Now, he's already acting a fool, as we would say. There are many things that are happening, but there is not nothing compared to what it shall be when the church is gone, the Holy Ghost is gone, and he can do what he wants. And so then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So he's going to do that in his time, but even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So he goes on to say, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they shall believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth that they have, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's one of the things that is going to happen. Talking about Jacob's trouble in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and verse 20, he's telling his people to come and hide thyself, as it were, but for a little moment. In the book of Isaiah, get that right quick. And so it's not going to be funny, you know, when the Lord takes his church out of here and the enemy is turned loose. So he says, Isaiah 26 and 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpass. For, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That is the tribulation period. And the church is not going to go through the tribulation period. So we can see it's all set up, as so many don't understand. And sometimes you don't, you know, you got to listen. If you ponder if you meditate, and then you can get the answer. So that's why, as a pastor, a man or a woman of God, gotta be sent by God and listen to God. And so if you, the answer is in the Word of God, no matter what it is that we need. So we got to listen to God. And so that's why I say all of this so-called blessing plan and all this stuff that's going on, this stuff wasn't going on. And, you know, people naming themselves apostles and this so-called prophetic, this stuff was not going on. Because actually, in reality, when you think about it, it's 16 prophetic books. Isaiah speaks prophetically. Hosea, all of those prophetic books, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, that when you say a quote, you could actually, under us a child is born, under us a son is given, government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is a prophetic quote, is what that is. So, we, you know, you didn't hear about this stuff until the 90s, the mid to late 90s, when people were talking about flowing in the prophetic, when people start calling themselves apostles. I know what I'm talking about, because I remember when they didn't in the 70s and 80s, you never heard of this stuff. And then they come up with this so-called sowing a seed and all this stuff, and then so you got these lying people on, begging people for money, and people think that they could buy a blessing. You know, if you don't have it, borrow it from somebody. There's all kinds of stupidness. Either you have it or you don't. So there's nothing to feel bad about. God requires the tenth and a free will offering. And there are other things that we do at certain times, depends on the vision of a certain church, things that they want to do, that they ask people certain things. There is no commandment or no, you know, where you got to do it, you're asked. So that's why Jesus said, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. So we do that in prayer. So you can ask for an offering or something. You have a goal in mind, something you want to do, you ask. We used to have building funds. That was way back in the day. That was voluntarily. You can want to give a certain amount to the building fund. You could do it. And so it is bad. There's so much violence in the land. People are lying and covering up lies and forget which lies they tell and calling everybody else a lie, but they never done no wrong themselves. Let them tell it. And so that's the time that we're living in, where people, that, you know, they're right in their own eyes. And so, like the old song says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So search me, the psalmist says, and try me in 139th Psalm, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of righteousness. So we don't have to pray. So that's what we want, our heart to be right. As David prays the prayer in Psalm 51, that was David. So then, and he goes on to say, and we don't have to say that part, because the Lord already told us that he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. So we don't have to say, take not your Holy Spirit from me. No, he already promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. That was David. That was under another dispensation when he made that statement. But we, as individuals, we want our heart to be right. And so sometimes you can say something, nobody else know you said it. You know, it is, we have to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. So we, as individuals, we want our hearts to be right. That should be a believer's prayer. We want to be right, appreciate what the King of Glory done for us, and we want to be right, and we want to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So these things are going to happen. And so this system is already set in place. As we say, so many don't understand. This is already set. And so the Lord was talking about putting markings in your skin, on your skin and all that, in your skin, on your skin, whatever, tattoos. People used to do that back in the days. So now it will be so easy because people are getting all this ink put in them. So he's talking about here this three-digit system. You can't buy or sell unless you, excuse me, have this mark. And so he was saying, let him that under, he that hath power, he was talking about the image and all this stuff. This stuff, all of this, what we're talking about here is the mark and all. These things are going to take place after the church is gone. Verse 17 of Revelation 13, that no man might buy or sell, save, or the word save means accept, he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So that wouldn't. So we all just think 666, 666, as I did. But actually, in reality, it is right in our face, and that is the three-digit code that is on the back of a debit or a credit card. Right now, they ask for, I think they call it a CVS. They got different things they call it, but it's a three-digit code. So, and then they were saying like the Vero chip. They're actually putting, some countries, they're putting chips in people, some employees. So you got to, if you understand what the Bible says, you're not going to do that. This chip, they call a Vero chip, is about the size of a grain of rice, can hold all your information. So they was talking about in your forehead, which is your eye, and your forehand. And so this is what he's talking about. These things are not going to take place until the church is raptured out of the earth. So we want to try, that was the whole my whole endeavor of these end time signs, to let people know that time is short. And so we don't have as much time as we think we have. We are in the last days. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, receive up into glory. Like I said, because I care, because I want you to have the salvation of God just like I do, and just like many believers do who are called apostolic, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.